Hey guys, Liam Duggan here, captain of the 4WD podcast. We're driven by the Shelter Brewing Co. and are a part of Backchat Studios. You can support us on Patreon, where you can get bonus content and episodes before everybody else. Head to patreon.com/the4WD podcast.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here we are, the 4WD podcast, driven by Shelter Music by the Southern River Band, Let It Ride. The 4WD podcast on Instagram is where you'll find us. Jaden will get back to you on that. And all our episodes over on Backchat's YouTube. Ronnie, second episode from the new digs, mate. How are you settling in here?
Mate, I'm settling pretty good here.
It's nice, isn't it? We just turned that aircon off, which is the best performing aircon that I've ever been a part of. That is, like, my feet are freezing. It's about 5 meters away from me. We had it on for like 3 minutes over dinner and it's just it cooled everything right down.
It's best performing, but it's not quiet about
it's not quiet. No, we had to turn it off because it's so loud, but it's a great performer and just another part that adds value to this wonderful space.
I know. I mean, I tried to quiet it down, but there was no batteries in the remote. Yeah. That's why it doesn't work, Jaden.
Fuji over it. No batteries in the remote and it's water damaged.
Can we talk about the bidet in the toilet?
Yeah,
in the bathroom?
Oh, why not? Why? There's a bidet in the bathroom.
Yeah, why is that?
In one of our three bathrooms.
Yeah.
Not including the outdoor long drop.
Spoiled for choice
here.
I've
only seen one of them. Oh, long. Yeah, you did say. I thought you were joking about long drop.
Nah, long drop out there.
That's
a real life long drop, mate.
No. That's only for the 4WD podcast crew. The rest of the back chat team use the inside toilets.
Well, yeah, they're not.
And the bidet. Have
they're
ever,
too good.
Have you ever used a bidet?
I have.
No, I haven't.
You haven't?
No.
Have you?
Don't recall.
I've used one.
I thought it was a drinking fountain once, but no.
I've used like a real fancy bidet. It's great. It's really good.
It's like a French thing, isn't it?
No, it's like a Japanese thing.
Oh.
Could be French as well. As far as I know, it's a Japanese thing. Anyway, 4WD podcast, we lose not anyone, the bidet podcast.
I just want to say thank you to our Patreons. Been with us for a week now, so thank you for the support tuning in. Get over to back. Where do you find... Actually, how do you sign up for Patreon? I didn't really allude to
so
that.
You can find us, we're the 4WD podcast on Patreon.
Okay,
yeah, so you can find us, there'll be a link. I will have put a link in the Instagram by the time this episode comes out.
Cool.
And it'll be out. And if you are a Patreon for this week, if you signed up after the last episode, you would have found at the end of last episode there was a little bit of a extended episode.
There was a bit of stuff being revealed there.
So
there was a lot going on at the back
end
there.
It's between us and the patron, so just keep that there.
Yeah, it was.
A lot was revealed there.
Yeah.
We're calling it a campfire chat.
Okay.
Which is, you know, a little hang with us after the cameras get turned off.
Get a bit deeper.
Yeah.
That sort of stuff.
Something like that. We'll just up. A little bit of extra content.
Oof. Oh, there it is. We've just had dinner. There will be a little bit of background noise here because we've just finished a big feed. with our busy lives, we've had to enter the studio late at night here and bring this podcast to you. But we are refueled, switched on, ready to go, and I'm pretty keen to have a look at our next new segment, which we brought in last week, the New Car Radar. Still rolling with the same name.
Or if there's another name, please send it in.
Yeah, give us some ideas.
Give us some idea names.
Get them thinking. Jaden played some new ordinary tunes, which hopefully we Here he goes. He's looking searching for him again.
Go through again, boop, see what I find. I did like the ones I played last time.
Ronnie's got his own little acapella going on. Anyway, while you're trying to figure that out, the new car radar today that we are focusing on, the GWM Tank 500. Now, I only found out a couple of weeks ago that there was a 500. I just thought there was a 300. Now, I'm actually a little bit excited about this car.
It's pretty cool. It's like the like a Chinese secret weapon.
It's made its way
to Australia.
Oh, hang on.
Oh. So
that's a chip.
The interesting thing about this vehicle is I actually think this is, because some of the stats are going to read out in a second.
Yep.
It's actually quite exciting. I think if they pull this off and it goes really well, which I don't see why it wouldn't, if it can prove itself to be reliable, like that's the main thing, right? Because
yep.
That's the only thing people really question. I reckon it's going to possibly make a few of those bigger companies a bit worried.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I probably should have introed a little bit more to what the new car radar is. A couple of weeks ago, we had a podcast where we focused purely on new cars, sort of a couple of the more popular choices, if you will. We've decided to sort of layer in each episode the new car radar. So that's why we are focusing on just one car at the start of an episode.
Because there's so many of them.
Yes, before we get into our main topic, which today, luckily enough, is the Vic High Country. So we'll get your take on that later. But as we move through the Tank 500, I just off looks straight away, Jaden disagrees with me, but I actually think it looks better than the 300 series Land Cruiser. So it's a Prado rival, basically. That's the way it's been sort of, I suppose, promoted. Looks very similar to the 300 series Land Cruiser. And I actually think to the eye, it actually looks nicer.
It looks almost better.
Yeah, you said, yeah. So you're still liking the 300, but there's something about it. It's a classy looking car.
Look, I don't really like either shape, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it's not a bad looking car.
Yeah.
There's worse looking cars out there.
Absolutely.
They've done a good job to make it look in that space, you know, like.
Yep.
Because it's meant to rival somewhere between a Prado and the 300.
Size-wise, it fits between a Prado and a 300 series. So it's interesting. I think the price will be much more affordable than those other two options.
Mm.
It's got here 66,490 drive away. They're yet to be released in Australia, but they've been approved. So they are approved to hit the roads. And I believe by about February or March, which would be about now, really, they were hoping to have them in showrooms around Australia. So they're not far away.
And they wouldn't be far away because, you know, like, the Chinese can build a hospital in 2 weeks. Yeah. We will take 30 years.
They will be here quick. So it's an interesting car. I mean, I think we ran over the numbers before, but 258 kilowatts, 615 newton meters of torque. They could be a little bit different. We're not exactly sure, but they're around those numbers. Yeah, I think you found one at about 650, which was a later.
Yeah, 648. That's like the latest information.
The
they
latest
have.
Specs, yep.
Yeah. And the, was it two? I think it was roughly 200 kilowatts of power.
And that was out of the 2 litre turbo petrol 4-cylinder hybrid.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which is interesting. So, more for all that, what we've been talking about over previous episodes about the hybrid engines and all of that sort of stuff into this fancy looking 300 like.
And it's proper four-wheel drive. It has a dual range transfer case, meaning it has high range and it has low range.
Yep.
And on top of that, it's got the clearance. It's got a rear diff locker. This is like...
Really?
They've come to the party.
Yeah.
They're here to party, I should say.
Yeah.
So it'd be really interesting.
Yeah, I'm keen to see how this goes. So it's kind of like, again, I'm bringing the looks to this because I don't know a lot about the car and what all that means, but... Inside looks like a genuine, it looks like a Rolls Royce. Like it is a clean finish in there.
Yeah.
If I spin this around, you
I haven't actually
these
seen
photos.
The inside.
Yeah, check those four photos out there.
See, I'm not used to that. That's just.
That doesn't look like something I'm going forward driving in. And
no.
And that is.
That
probably,
looks Lexus like.
Yeah, it's Lexus like. It looks a bit like a Lexus from the outside. My biggest worry is what is its actual capability off road? If you're buying it as an off road vehicle, what is its capability?
It, Yeah, it'd be interesting, like the suspension and all that set up. It needs to be sort of test driven by someone who actually wants to off-road. Like, I'd love to get my hands on one.
Yep.
And test drive it. But what you find with most of these car reviews, when they say off-road, they'll take it on a gravel road, they'll call that off-road.
Yeah.
And look, to a lot of people, majority of people who have a four-wheel drive, yes, it is off-road, but it's not real off-road. So if you want to really proper compare it, how's it going to go? Australian conditions, corrugations, yeah, rock steps,
yep,
all that kind of stuff. Can it do it? How will it go on the beach? Will it? Is the transmission prone to overheating? Is it not? Because even a Ford Ranger is prone to overheating.
Yep, yep, yeah. There's a bit to play out, obviously, but I think people should go and have a look at them because they're bloody nice. And a lot of people were buying the 300 series not as a four-wheel drive off-road vehicle. So
yeah, and the 300 series, which is almost twice the price.
Yeah, 100%. So if that's what you are looking for, an off-road vehicle that you're probably spending most of your time on the bitumen in, it might be a pretty decent option. The one other thing I want to touch on, which I don't know if I've heard of before, 9-speed automatic transmission. And 9-speed, are they not common? Yeah.
Well, normally you go like 6, 8, yeah. 10, 9.
9.
Yeah. I thought 8 was a lucky number in Chinese.
There you go. One better.
One some better. Might
say. Good Nissan luck. Nissan have just plus got one. A Pathfinder that's good, nice speed.
Yeah, is okay. It? There you go. Mm. Well, that might be... Where a Nissan?
Fifth generation Pathfinder.
A Nissan produced in China?
No. Some will be produced in... I mean, it's a Japanese company.
It's a Japanese brand, okay.
I'm not actually sure where to be made, but...
Yep.
You get some, it's like Toyota, they'll build, I think they build some cars in Japan. I think the 70 series and all the Land Cruisers are, anything with a Land Cruiser badge is built in Japan, but the Hilux is built in Thailand.
Right. One other thing before we move on from the tank, Jaden, you might be able to help me on this one. Is there an option to get the V6 petrol engine in a 3-litre mild hybrid? Which I don't know what mild hybrid means, but...
Are you asking in the 500?
In the 500. Is that...
No, I'm pretty sure... No, that's only in China, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So not in Australia.
As far as I'm aware. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yep. There might be more information coming out.
Don't quote us on that then. But
like, there's also, as of this recording right now, no.
Okay.
Also the diesel option. There's a 2.4. It's 2.4. Oh, right. There's a diesel option as well. That is also not going to be available in Australia straight away.
Yeah, I think okay. For Australia, it's just the 2-litre four-cylinder.
Yeah.
Correct? Like the turbocharged petrol engine with the electric motor.
Right.
Which is really interesting. So to bring the hybrid to Australia and not the diesel and not the V6 petrol. It's quite interesting when you look at it that way. You know, because it's more of a diesel market in Australia.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, yeah, I mean, but it's heading towards petrol a bit, isn't it? Like with the prices and...
Wow.
Yeah. Especially the hybrids that are coming in.
Just seeing another image now that it is... Like, tell me that's not a Prado.
That looks like the 120 Prado from the back. That's so looks like...
Wow.
Yeah.
It looks like a tricked out Fortuna.
Yeah. But anyway, it might be a little bit like... A couple of those cars that we spoke about, you know, 2 weeks ago, that they, I think it might have its place in the market. A little bit more than what we probably thought of the Jimny 5-door. Yeah. I think this.
Oh, will, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I reckon, and it's not a four-drive market. It's going to buy it over.
It's
like most Prado owners, they don't buy it to go off-road. They buy it because of, yeah.
Yep, comfort.
But for the price, I mean, it'll be hard to look past it.
Yeah. So 66,490 driveway is what we've got here. I'm assuming that's probably excluding government charges and all that. So it may be $70,000 and I don't know how many different models there are.
Yeah. Drive away.
It is drive away?
Drive away.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Allegedly.
Yep.
Like, once again, it's all new facts.
It'll fluctuate a bit, yeah.
But that's all kind of up.
You know, it's interesting though, like, when you go to Bali and you jump in the vans they have there, some of the vans are exactly like the same vans we have here. The ones we have here have like fabric seats and they look pretty... agricultural in the inside.
Yep.
You go over there, they look like a freaking Lexus on the inside.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, leather seats and gold trims and all this stuff. You're like, why don't we get all that stuff?
Yeah, okay.
You know?
Mm.
They get some nice car, like nice interiors over there.
So maybe it's not going to come out that way here, you reckon?
Well, that's what that car reminds me of.
Yeah.
It's just this really nice interior. So, yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. The one, just to backtrack a bit, apparently Nissan Japan, but they do have a Nissan Casting Australia plant in Dandenong, South Victoria.
Oh, really?
The only remaining one of its kind, apparently.
Yeah, right.
Manufacturer-operated facility that makes parts for Nissan vehicles. So, doesn't manufacture them.
Ah, yeah.
But it makes the parts. It's a casting plant. Sweet. But I would assume it's Japan that they made.
That's a pretty good tick for Nissan if you need parts in Australia, isn't it?
There you go.
It's pretty big. It's pretty good.
Mm.
Considering Holden stopped making them, like,
yeah, and Ford producing stopped making vehicles. Falcons,
Ford have stopped.
They? Yeah.
Pretty big tick for Nissan.
So, quickly back to the 500, Tank yep. 500, yes, no?
I'm definitely curious to do a test drive for yep. sure.
I'm a yes, I like it.
I wouldn't blindly buy it though.
Yeah, nah.
Because, you know, like, I wasn't a fan of the 300, the Tank 300. The Tank 500, look, it doesn't have its renowned reliability, but if it's around for 5 years and it's done really well and there's been no real recalls and stuff,
yep.
Well, heck, you know, it might be something that's worth looking at.
Yep.
Like as a full drive, but I think as a get around car, I don't see why people wouldn't look at it.
Yes, no, Jaden?
The price is kind of like turning me off a bit.
Up there a bit still for you.
It's just like Prado, like if I was going to buy it, Prado versus Tank, I would go Prado purely based on Toyota's reputation and reliability.
Yeah, what about in 5 years' time if it's still going strong?
I mean, it's a bit like that's the thing, right?
The way I see this one is a bit like Haval, how they've come into the market in the smaller SUVs.
Mm.
They're just as popular as anything else now. Maybe not as popular, but they're pretty close. Like they've got a pretty big stance on the market now. So that's the way I look at this car potentially going.
I'd love to test it. I'd love to test it. That would be like the thing.
Yeah, that would be the thing. But there'd still be that doubt afterwards. I could put that back to give you a perfect example of that's going on right now. It's that 70 2.8, right? I still have questions that need to be answered. And that's going to be the same thing for something else. It's like, can it? You're looking for a problem. And if you're expecting something, you're going to be looking for it. And
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I think that's enough on the Tank 500. Let's get to the Vic High Country, mate. Now, we're going over this because you've been there recently. It's a very popular place for four-wheel drive campers, overlanders to head. And I assume, again, because I haven't been there, that people need to be really prepared for a trip to the Vic High Country if you are going to tackle some of the famous tracks that they have in store over there. So,
100%.
Give us a little bit of a brief rundown on, and we'll go into a bit more detail, but sort of the overall feeling and what you had to do to prepare yourself for the Vic High Country as a solo vehicle.
Yeah, as a solo vehicle, there were definitely things I was, you know, a bit cautious of. If something looked a bit too gnarly, or for example, I'm sort of jumping to almost the end of my time in Vic High Country. We were going to do Billy Goat Bluff, but we decided not to because solo vehicle for a start. The clouds and the wind and the hail and the snow we had in the morning kind of put us off a bit because we knew that that track would then be slippery as heck.
Yep.
We're by ourselves. And if Jono's on the camera, I'm driving. So what happened early in the trip, which we'll get to soon, I did all that myself because Jono's job is to film. It's not his job to get a car out of a situation. And then also you don't capture what's happening. And that's sometimes the best stuff you can get. And, you know, you're always like, ah, come give me a hand. But it's like, nah, I can do this. I've got to do it. I'm here on my own.
Yeah.
But I'm not, but I am.
Yeah. Which it comes across that way when you watch the videos that you don't ever see Jono.
Obviously at camp at night, I've got someone to talk to.
Yeah. Which is gold. Best of both worlds.
Yeah, that's it. so, look, there were times where like, nah, not doing that. because single vehicle, too hard to recover, and I can't expect someone to run on that steep terrain to try and recover a car, yep. You know, because that's a two-man job.
Yep.
You can't winch yourself in a situation on Billy Go Bluff.
Yep.
So, yeah, we didn't do that. We did, however, take on another river crossing, which I didn't think would be that difficult because the surprise was at the exit, not at the entry. I was all focused on the entry.
Yep.
You know, that's where it was going to be difficult. But before that, I mean, Vic Eye Country, you really feel remote there. Yep. But if you look on a map, you're actually really close.
Yeah.
But it's a bit deceptive because if you are 40 Ks from help, that 40 Ks is up, 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 up. You keep going up and then you got switchbacks, you know.
Yeah.
We're talking as a crow flies, but in reality, that 40 Ks is more like 100 Ks.
Yeah.
And it's a slow 100 Ks.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, because you're either going up or down.
Yeah, yeah. I'll go into a bit more detail on that river crossing soon, but the Troopy, how did it handle? Because it's not probably the first car you'd pick to take into the Vic High Country because of the harsh nature of some of the tracks, especially the ones that you personally would visit and people that are like you with that sense of adventure. So how did it actually handle on a pretty serious sort of four-wheel drive project?
I thought it handled really well, and if Billy Goat wasn't in a situation, because even if I had a 79 there or a lighter vehicle, I still wouldn't have done it because of the situation. So that wouldn't have changed. That had no impact on that decision. The Troopy went really well. Now, it is definitely heavier than what I thought it was at the time. I don't know the actual true weight of it, but I can tell it is a bit heavy.
You could just feel that.
Yeah. I'm actually thinking about lightening it up a bit.
Right.
And I've only got one tire hanging off the back. There's room for more weight. You know?
Yeah.
So it is a heavy car and it's tall. So when you get on those angles, it actually handles the angles really well, considering. So it is well weighted, but it's definitely heavy on top. So in that aspect, I thought it handled really well. And look, most vehicles can do Vic High Country without too much problem. But you really got to pick your line and you got to have your wits about you. You got to be on point. And there was one occasion where I wasn't quite at my sharpest point, and that was looking at a hill and going, that's a point and shoot. I got 35s and big V8. Here we go. And I was in second gear low. I should have been in first gear low and I probably would have made it up easy.
Yep.
But I was in second gear and then I had to give it too much. And then I got to a point where all four wheels are sliding and I'm just skidding sideways across to the other side of the track. And I was like, okay, let's swallow my pride and do that again.
Yeah. swallow your pride was actually something that came to mind for me, because you to choose not to do Billy Goat's Bluff, that's what I was thinking. Just sometimes from an advice sort of, this is what I'm sort of saying, is you do need to swallow your pride. At times, if you just either one, it's not safe for yourself and Jono, the passenger of the car, or you're not confident enough to do it. There's no shame, like we've said early on in the podcast in much earlier episodes. There's no shame in saying, no. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, definitely. Because if you're not comfortable, that's when things go wrong.
Yeah, you're not thinking straight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're a bit worried and then, you know, you might not hit the clutch at the right time and things like that. So, look, it's quite amazing. A mate of mine, you're Luke from On Track Fabrication.
Yep.
So, he's driven some of the gnarliest shit that I've seen, right, on like normal day-to-day track. Yep. Like, he'll put a car through a situation where it's like, if I put my car there, it's going to be on the side. But he had this Land Rover Defender that had really good flex.
Yeah.
And he ended up in a situation where, you know, he had to get recovered, but it was all good, you know. That's what that car's for. But there has been occasions where, and I've adopted a bit of this, his mindset as well. He's got to a point, it's like, nah, I'm not doing that because I'm not 100% comfortable.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time he said that, I can't remember where we were, I was like, wow, I'm actually surprised, you know. The rest of us did it. He drove around it. But he was cool with it. We were cool with it. And it's been a few other occasions. I had a situation that was very similar. And I found myself, I used to just push myself to do it.
Yeah.
And I'd end up in a situation usually. This time I was like, nah, I'm not going to do it. Took it straight out of his book. Not comfortable, not doing it.
Yeah.
So I watched my mate Trav go through first. I skipped on it. And then my mate Jono, cameraman, he went through it. And yeah, whatever.
Yep.
I didn't feel like I missed out on anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we'd driven harder stuff. It was just, I just did feel comfortable.
Yeah.
It's weird. Sometimes you just have that thought. It's like.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's great that you share that too, because I reckon there'd be a few people that have got themselves into trouble that would be listening to this because the peer pressure, they've just jumped in because everyone else has done it. And but there you go. Even the best in Ronnie Dale said no to a track before that his mates have. Which I always say no, so don't follow me. You probably can do it.
Have you ever been peer pressured into something? Like on the four-wheel drive track?
Oh.
I think everyone has.
Yeah, to a degree.
Yeah.
Yeah, to a degree.
Anything you've like regretted, like hard?
Nah. Nothing I've regretted too hard. Like, you know, tried a few things that you fail at, but it was never because I felt unsafe. It was just that I didn't make it up you know. And it's kind of a little bit embarrassing, but it's also not. I had a crack. But there's been definitely multiple times where I've said, no, I'm not. Like, I'm pretty good at saying, no, I'm not doing that. Because my confidence level obviously is not probably where your confidence level sits. Like, I'm much more in that beginner phase.
It also matters day to day as well.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can start a trip and something just went wrong because it just went wrong. And pardon me, that was a jalapeno. pretty hot, actually. Once that situation happens, people often lose, they get self-doubt.
Yep.
It shatters their confidence. In those situations, I do find that you need to get straight into something that's comfortable and just push yourself to do that. But if it's something that, if something went wrong and you got the jitters, don't do something that's pretty gnarly, you know, just, yeah.
Yeah. We got a bit sidetracked there, but it's actually good advice for when you're talking about the Vic High Country. There's going to be times, I think, that you'll find yourself in those positions, especially if you're up there in the winter.
Especially if you're up there in the winter, but most of the tracks are shut.
Yeah.
And we knew this was the case, but we didn't know the gravity of how many tracks were closed.
Yep.
But we found a pretty good map that you can use, but it wasn't accurate because it showed a way in that would have saved us quite a few kilometres. It would have saved us half a night of driving.
Yep.
Because we ended up driving right into the night because of this. And one of the tracks was closed, but it wasn't marked on the map as closed. And that was up near, Hoffman or?
Hotham.
Hotham.
Mount Hotham, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So past Hotham, in between Dinner Plain, there's this track that goes down, but it's shut in winter. But on the map, it was open.
Right.
But because part of the track was open, they don't tell you where it was closed.
Yeah, okay.
So it was like, oh, okay.
Fine.
Yeah, yeah. But there's still some gnarly tracks that are there. But the thing is, when you're on a track in the Vic High Country, you're committed.
Yeah.
Because if you're going down, you're going down.
Yeah.
And you're going up, well, that's the only way to go up.
No turnaround spots.
There's no turnaround spots. I mean, there are a few far in between, but not on the track.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So in terms of places that you've been, you've seen a lot of beautiful places, but is it as good as everyone says? Like, everyone that goes there says it's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
Yeah, right.
Because it's a place you don't expect to experience in Australia.
Yeah.
You know, and what makes it even more unique is if you had that exact same pocket in a European country, you still wouldn't have the gum trees. You wouldn't have the wildlife. You wouldn't have kangaroos. You wouldn't, you know.
Yeah.
So it's quite incredible. It's definitely a very unique place on its own. And I think Victoria is really lucky to have that piece there and really lucky to have it not developed all the way through. And
that's
probably because of the
because
of the steepness of the terrain. Yeah.
What are some of the areas that you actually, like, some names of places that you went to, or where'd you enter into the Vic High Country? Because it's a big area.
It
covers a lot of the eastern side of Victoria, really.
Yeah, yeah. It is a massive area. The Crooked River track was one of the tracks we did, and we didn't release that on YouTube, and I'll get to that in a bit, but the Crooked River track is kind of around that area. That's where we were.
Yep.
I don't...
Wowee.
that was a man beyond. there was...
Sincerest apologies.
Nice.
The tracks we... The track that we did in between, I don't know what it was called because we had to go in a different way and we just drove in, we camped somewhere. It was really beautiful. We've been up and down, and yeah, so we woke up in the morning and we're like, okay, well, we want to get to Crooked River and this is the shortest way.
Yep.
Let's do that. And that just turned into this cool thing. Like, we didn't expect any of that, but we just wanted to start the story there.
Yep.
And lucky we did, because otherwise we'd be starting a story at a river and then it just looks weird. All right, we're at a river and we're going to cross this river.
Yeah,
there's no context of why you're doing it. Oh, you're just doing that just to cross it.
Yeah.
So the track that we went down, that was going to take us to Crooked River the next day. Well, actually that night. That night we got to Crooked River. So we get down and then we can see there were two tire tracks that had stopped. They didn't continue and it looked a bit sloppy, but it looked too bad. So I knew it was drivable just by looking at it.
Yep.
I was pretty confident. Still had the walker though. So I walked around and I could see the river and I could see, that's why I stopped, because they don't want to go in and there's a tree across there. Maybe they didn't have anything to cut the tree with.
Yep.
I didn't have a chainsaw, which is going to be car country pretty much unprepared.
It's probably the one thing you'd like in there.
Yeah. That's probably the biggest mistake, yeah. Really. And I knew it straight away, and that's why I called myself out, you know, straight away.
Yeah.
No
on chainsaw. Your video?
Yeah. I made sure that. Because I was saying the whole way in, Jono, who goes all the way to the big high country without a chainsaw?
Yeah.
And I think he looked at me and said, no words. So anyway, I assessed the situation. There was a big drop in. I sorted all that out, chopped the tree, looked at the exit. And the exit, yeah, it was a little bit squishy. I wasn't too alarmed about it. And this is something that I kind of got a bit of a lesson from.
Yep.
So there'd been a flood there 2 weeks before. And I don't normally deal with floods that hang around for a while. So normally floods up in the Pilbara, they're there, they're gone.
Yep.
Days later, it's all dry again, bone dry. So we go through all the motions, get everything set up. I get the car ready. Drive in. This is after clearing everything, checking everything's all good. Drive in, drive out the other side. Although I didn't exactly drive out the other side, I got completely bogged.
You drove into the other side.
I drove into the other side, and the more I drove backwards and forwards, the more I sank in.
Yeah.
And sure enough, winch comes out. Do you want to put max tracks in? Because it was so sloppy at this stage now. The more I walked on it, the more the cart idled, the more it was sinking, it was started to cave in on the sides, yep. And there was like thorn bushes everywhere. And I was in bare feet, and yeah, it was challenging.
Yeah,
it was good fun in the end, but it was challenging. I was pretty exhausted. Managed to get it out eventually after winching for. It took 4 hours.
Jeez.
From clearing the track to driving it, 4 hours.
Was the car in the water or was it out enough the other side that you were clear of the water?
The back of the car was in the water for long enough. I made sure that the hubs were above water. It wasn't exactly a deep river. Entry was a little bit deep.
Yep.
But after that, I just wanted the hubs above water, because if the hubs are sitting below the water, water's going to eventually make it past the seal.
Yep.
It just gets in after time. So I made sure that every time I parked the car, the hubs were above water.
Yep.
Plus everything had a chance to cool down. So it wasn't like things were hot and sucking in water.
Yep.
I got diff breathers, you know, all that. So that's all good. The problem was, though, it took so long to winch out because the whole ground was soaked. So even though it looked dry up there, it was still soaked underneath because they had so much water there.
Yeah.
So finally got out, and after that, it was like, now I know. Every single time there's been a flood somewhere in Victoria or eastern states where it's quite wet, wait a lot longer.
Yeah, hangs around for sure. Yeah, it's pretty good. If you haven't seen that clip, go and have a look, because the video is much quicker than the recovery obviously was, but it's an interesting recovery, especially solo and Jono just standing behind the camera. But it's cool to see. I do want to ask you quickly on the winch. Do you have a winch rule about, because you don't want the winch to obviously overheat or play up on you? Have you got like a 30-30 rule, or is that just something I've heard as a myth?
It's a 2020.
2020.
2020 rule.
Okay.
You can go to 30-30. 2020, it's not just to stop the winch from overheating.
Yep.
It's more so you're aware, like, if you're not really moving, you got more chances to assess it.
Yep.
Rather than just sitting there going, because that's when things can go wrong as well.
So 2020 is 20 seconds on, 20 seconds off. Let the winch just...
Yeah, more so your battery.
And yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, the car battery.
Yeah.
Even though the alternator's powering everything, it struggles to keep, the battery struggles to keep up,
yep.
and you'll wear the battery. So it's not so much a case of right here, right now. It's more like, what about in a couple of weeks' time? You've done a lot of winching.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, oh, I dropped the cell.
Yep.
I wonder why, mate. You're bloody...
Yeah, just fanging it.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Good little tip. Other places in the high country that must see?
The Crooked River track, I reckon, is a really awesome track. Now, the reason why I didn't release that as a video, much to, you know, the guys really wanted to put it out there because it was a cool track, but it's like it didn't really have a story to it because you cross one river and then you're up on a bit of land, then you cross another river. It would have just been crossing a river, crossing a river, crossing a river, crossing a river. So instead, I decided to do a video about education about crossing rivers.
Yep.
And part of that went in there just so we wouldn't just waste it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we might put some short clips up or Jane will post some clips of it so at least someone gets to enjoy a bit of it.
Yeah, hard work.
Yeah. But that's a really cool track because you cross the river 20 to 25 times.
Yeah, right.
Shallow, deep, rocky, really steep exits.
So what was the river you got stuck in?
That was the Dargo River.
Ah, okay.
So that's right before the Crooked.
Yeah, right. Did you go to the Dargo Hotel?
No. No, I didn't. I want to. I was going to save it for next time.
Okay.
And next time I go back, I want to do it so it's in a proper season.
Yep.
So you can actually do more of the tracks.
Yep.
Like, there's like Blue Rag track and all that.
Yeah, righto. Yep. What about the huts? Yeah, that's the pretty famous part about the high country.
That was the biggest thing I was spewing about with the Billy Goat Bluff. One, not doing Billy Goat Bluff, but not seeing the... Because there's some huts on the... There's like two or three huts up the, when you get to the top of that region on your way out.
Yep.
Because you go out the other way. So we saw a couple of huts, but the one I spent most time at was Snake Hut.
Okay.
Snake Creek. Black Snake.
Did you camp there?
No. We pulled up for a while and spent some time there. And then we moved on. That was on our way out.
Yeah,
but it's awesome area and I really... Wants to be back there. We're in the Vic High Trunk country for 3 or 4 nights.
Yeah, okay.
I actually can't remember if it was 3 or 4 nights.
Yeah. And when you're thinking about preparing for the Vic High Country, what is something that you can leave the listeners and viewers with in terms of, we covered it a little bit with the Holland track, you know, how set up you need to be, and it wasn't very set up.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it's a different story for the High Country.
Bring a chainsaw.
Yeah, well, that's a key. You should listen to yourself, mate.
Yeah. I would also bring a high lift jack.
Okay.
I'll change my mind on those tools a bit. And I just think out there, they'll come in handy. It can actually help you move a tree. If it's like a certain way, you can't park your car on a track because of the, because you can't really turn your car around on the track. If there's a tree across, high lift jack might actually be helpful because you can walk off the side and attach to another tree and it might be enough just to pull something out of the way.
Yeah. Bit of dual use.
Yeah. A bit of dual use. And if you end up in a situation like I was, it could have been handy to jack it up and then put the Maxtrax under all four wheels and then get a better leapfrog thing rather than winching for 2 to 3 hours. Always you got to have enough water and stuff, but I think spare parts, driveline parts is probably not a bad idea.
Yeah. Is that because of the harsh terrain?
Just more so because you're going up something and some of the tracks, they're quite wild, I would say.
Yeah.
So if you're not careful and say you're like, oh shit, I don't want to roll back because it's pretty daunting, some of the vision in your mirror because it's so steep.
Straight down.
You might just put your foot down too hard or you're giving it too much and that's where you could possibly bust a CV or something, you know. So I think drive like an axle, you know. I think if you have those parts already, I wouldn't go out and buy an axle, but if you have some of those things.
Yeah, okay.
I would definitely bring that.
Yep.
And then just nuts and bolts. It's kind of like a harsh environment. You're putting a vehicle through a hard time because you're going up and you're going down. Now, brake pads, if you're going to spend some time out there and you've got an automatic, I'll definitely bring brake pads.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, right. And you touched on water just briefly there. So food, water, fuel. How accessible is towns, little communities? I don't know what there is out there exactly, but are you sort of remote enough that you need to bring in extra fuel and water and food, or is it not that remote?
It doesn't look that remote on a map, but again, 20Ks is not 20Ks.
Yeah, okay.
So it's winding, and a lot of it you probably wouldn't even want to walk, you know.
Yep.
Even walking down some of these hills, you know, the common phrase is if you can't walk it, you shouldn't drive it.
Yep.
And some of those hills are actually difficult to walk.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
They're that steep. Like, it may not be that steep the whole way up. There's like sections where it'll, you know.
Yep.
And those are the problem sections.
Yeah, okay. Yep. Yeah, it's interesting. I'm spewing it on Victorian and I can't actually help out on the Vic High Country chat. Like, that's frustrating me. But
we'll have to go there, mate.
Yeah, I know. Need to. I've got plenty of friends and family that
do
have
a pod
been
from
up
the
there,
top.
And yeah, the heck with that thing. That is one thing I want to touch on. So the altitude in the High Country is sort of unrivaled. Kosciuszko is the tallest mountain, which is on the New South Wales side. But it's, you know, there's ski resorts and up there. This is what we're sort of. It, like you say, it's different to anything else in Australia that you know, over here or anywhere Queensland can offer. It's you know, there's totally snowfields up there, but. That's one thing I wanted to touch on, and you may not know, and I don't really know. All I know is that Vic weather is unpredictable at the best of times.
Yes.
So I'm assuming in the High Country, it can be really, really unpredictable. So when we talk about preparation, I'm assuming you need to be ready for all seasons up there.
You got to be ready for every single season up there. Like, it was October, man, and it was snowing.
Oh, you had snow.
Yeah, we had sleet. Right. We had snow.
I was interested to hear that some of the tracks were closed because I just would have thought that it had cleared up by then.
Yeah, but. Oh, that's just seasonal. So we were, because we went back to get the car from the Sydney show and Adelaide show.
It was just
show.
About snowing in Sydney that first day, mind you.
Yeah, it's bloody cold, you know. It was snow, man. And like... The next day we could see across where it's kind of towards Hotham.
Yep.
And it's all white, man.
Yeah, right. How was that?
Yeah, it was snow. It was like, oh, it's glaciers. It was, you know, just snow caps. Yeah, you know? Right. It was cool.
Yeah.
It was like, wow, it's October.
Yeah, that's
what
bizarre.
Is going
I didn't
on.
Actually know that.
Yeah. And the wind is ferocious.
Yeah,
at those altitudes as well. There's nowhere to hide. But in the valley, it's so still.
Yep.
It actually felt a bit humid during the day in the valleys.
Yeah, right.
Especially Crooked River, because you're mainly in the valley.
Yep.
It almost felt like Queensland on a mild day.
Right.
Yeah, I was shorts and T-shirt and thongs. The water was so cold. But, you know, it felt warm. But then as soon as the sun sort of drops, which early because of the... You know, the altitude of the, you know, of the mountains blocking the sunlight, it plummets pretty quick.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's actually what I was thinking about when you said that it was actually like wetter underneath and it just didn't sort of give up. But wouldn't get a lot of sunlight in some of those areas because of the tree cover and the hill cover and it could get quite dark quick.
Like, imagine winter, you know.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a long day. What was I going to touch on? Oh, no, I was just going to say be prepared for the weather. Make sure you sort of know what's coming there.
Yeah,
you're right.
We actually, we camped on this massive grass plain and it was towards the southern end of Crook River. So listeners from Victoria who've been there, the Vic High Country, you'll probably know what I'm talking about. Massive grass area. It used to be an old town site there. I just can't remember what it is. Grant, the town of Grant or something.
Town of Grant.
We parked there. And all of a sudden, this is that snow event that happened. So where we were, it didn't snow on us there, but it, the wind just came through and we actually held onto the awning because it was going to rip the awning, like the mounting brackets off. It was that ferocious, the wind. And the rooftop was copping it as well. It was like, wow, we had to shut the doors and we were satched holding onto this thing and freezing. And then once we packed up afterwards and drove up, that's where all the snow was. So the snow felt at a higher altitude, but down, so really unpredictable because it wasn't supposed to.
Wow.
It just, out of nowhere.
Yeah, crazy. It'd be cool to see though.
Mm. Sorry, were you?
No. I was just going to ask, because there's obviously all the tracks, a few of them you've mentioned, like the Blue Rag, Billy Goat Bluff, Injig Goodby track, I don't know how to say that. Very difficult in brackets from Jaden. Very difficult. Basalt track. There's all these tracks that the Vic High Country is famous for.
Yeah.
How, again, I said this in the Holland track episode, like what sort of, can I do it in a Forester kind of thing? If I had the new Tank 500, not kitted out at all, sort of a city cruiser, am I taking that into the Vic High Country and still being able to see enough of it to enjoy it? Or are you sort of needing a pretty capable four-wheel drive to reach the areas you need to get to?
The Vic High Country is no joke, that's for sure.
Okay.
I wouldn't take a Forester. Say, the tracks that we did?
Yep.
No, you need a proper four-wheel drive.
Yep.
The Tank 500, yeah, I mean, it sounds like a proper four-wheel drive, but unless you got some protection on the front and the back, because those bumpers hang quite low.
Yeah.
It's like, I wouldn't take a brand new 300 through the Crooked River track either.
Righto.
Because I'll actually be nervous about ripping one of the bumpers off.
Yeah.
Because some of those climbs out and drop-ins in, they're quite severe. So you have to be fully committed. And you're lifting wheels and all kinds of stuff going up some of them.
Yeah.
And we're actually tracking one guy who had done his sump or something, because we saw oil.
What's a sump?
Like his oil sump.
Oh, right.
We thought it was his diffs, but it was actually his engine sump.
Oh, okay.
So someone was towing him through all that stuff. That would have been a sight to see. So he'd obviously smashed his... it was on a Triton, by the way. Yeah.
Ruins the Triton flavor. The
disappointing.
He would have smashed it on a rock somewhere. And then...
Could have happened to anyone.
Yeah, it could have happened to anyone.
Any car.
And he was getting basically skull dragged out because they couldn't run the car.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was telling it? Do you know?
Don't know. But it was like a 100 series or... I think it was a 100 series or something.
Oh, there you go.
I think. Because we spoke to the guys at that big grass area. There was a couple of guys camped up. And when we drove out, we had to drive past them again. And he was having a bit of a chat. And he was saying... Because there was a car trailer. We passed a car trailer one of the nights heading down to Crooked River.
Yeah.
Because you go on a road a bit and then we caught up to like a... No. They caught up to us because Jono hopped out to get a shot of me driving down. And then all these cars came past and one of them was a car trailer.
Right.
So that was there to pick up that guy.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But we didn't see his oil marks until the next day because he'd done a Crooked River. And you can't get a car trailer down the other end. So they would have had to drag him through all the way.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
So it's, yeah.
Yeah, crazy tracks. Well, I sort of, because I know you can reach all the ski resorts.
Oh, yes.
In Normal. They're bitch miles. I'm going to take a bit of a stab here, but I feel like in those areas, I don't know why I'm looking at you, because you're from Newman. You're probably the furthest away from the Vic High Country that any of us are, but
quite possibly.
There's high country over there, but it just never snows. I think you can be pulled over and checked in the winter, maybe. And if you are not carrying chains, you can be fined.
Yeah, correct.
Correct. Yep. Yes.
Yeah, 100% correct. So that's on the bitumen. So
yeah, so that's obviously for, you know, where you'd be mad to be in any snow without them, but
$350 or more.
There you go. Yeah.
It's not per wheel? Or is it just that's blanket fine? Must just be blanket fine.
Blanket fine.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
it's more in WA, it's per wheel if you're on a road that's closed. Anyway.
There you go.
In WA, if you're not carrying snow chains, you get fined $500.
No, like if you're on a road that's closed.
Ridiculous.
Oh, if you're on a road that's closed,
you know. They charge you per tyre. So it's like I think it's $1,000 per tyre.
On a road that's closed?
Yeah. So if you got like a truck, you know. Yeah. But if the road is closed while you're on
riding a unicycycle or something.
Well, actually more than $1,000 a tyre, actually. But,
far out. I didn't know that.
It's at least $1,000.
Fair enough.
Anyway, sidetracked there. Yeah, so there are... They still have those wooden things, the inspection bays where they would check for that. But yeah, it was all new to me. Like I'd try them through and going, oh, cool. It's like a chains. Oh, that'll be sick off-road.
Yeah. I don't know. So there's a plan to go back though?
100%. Yep. Yeah, yeah. Vic High Country has always been there on the list. It's been way above Cape York and things like that.
Yeah, right.
That's always, and I want to go back again. Yep. We've tried multiple times. It's just every time we go, it's just floods, and then we're literally getting chased. Last time we were getting chased by the flood out of the state.
Yeah, righto. What about you, Jaden? You got any aspirations for the High Country?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's like you said earlier, it's the furthest thing away from Newman. Like,
yeah.
It would be.
Your 76 would love it, mate.
It would too.
Would love it. I could see you there climbing.
I can see me there climbing too.
Yeah.
Like I would love to. Yeah, I'd love it. Just the views, especially after watching your video.
It's so
the
cool.
views insane.
Oh, yeah.
I do love a bit of snow.
Yeah, the views.
Having not grown up with any snow.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool to see.
I would absolutely love to do that.
Well, I'm with you. I make fun of you, but I grew up on the other side of Victoria and not that far away because Victoria's only small, but never really sort of, yeah, haven't even sort of scraped the surface of the high country. So maybe we can make that.
It's mate, talked about
it's,
a lot.
It's auto country, mate. You'll love it. Like, yeah. the auto going uphill, yeah, would absolutely love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the manuals downhill would love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I reckon that's about probably enough on the high country. I might maybe just some final thoughts, any tips, words of advice, or just give us some encouragement to get out there and check it out. Because that's what I think people need to go and have a look at this. Because like you say, it's such a different experience.
It definitely is. It's awesome. And I reckon it'll be a great experience to bring like a bit of a convoy out there.
Yeah.
But if we're going to, like, I remember last time we spoke about the Holland Track, I think you asked what the ideal convoy would be. I would say here, not 12 cars.
No.
No way. That would be
there all day just tackling one track, wouldn't you? Because you'd have to leave so much distance between each car.
Yeah. That would be a shit time.
Yeah.
That would be a real shit time. I think 4.
Okay.
4's the magic number. Yeah, 4's the magic number.
I like it. What were the questions that I asked? I did a bit of a wrap up. Oh, yeah, that's right. Time of year, perfect time of year to go to the high country.
Oh, I'd say just before or just after they close the tracks because you're going to have less people there and, yeah. You can go while it's closed like I did, but you're limited to what you can do.
Yep.
It's still good though.
Another question was the convoy number. So 4's the magic number here.
Yeah, definitely. 4.
And then I asked also about the new car radar, car in the spotlight, which is now the Tank 500, which you sort of said.
Look, you could take any car to the Vic High Country, but to do the four-wheel drive tracks and to do the particular route that I did, or any of the other tracks that are labeled as four-wheel drive and high clearance. Nah, just a four-wheel drive. Like, you've got to have a four-wheel drive. Yep. With proper tyres too. You easily slash tyres there.
Yeah, okay.
And like, this is big wheel country, not because you got to have it, but the bigger the wheel you have, the more of a footprint of the tyre you can have, which, you know, just way more potential traction and way less of tyres spinning and breaking something, you know.
Oh, actually, one last... I think there was another question that I asked on that, but I can't remember, but... Or do you remember, Jaden?
No.
Nah, okay.
No.
Final last question
week's
on
episode,
it.
Mate.
Yeah. So, short-term memory loss. What tyre pressures were you running for a majority of the time? Like, what was your sort of ideal pressure?
I think it was 20.
Okay.
It was, yeah, it was in the range of 20 to 25.
Yep.
Yeah. Hindsight, I wouldn't really change it much, but perhaps... You could go as low as 18. Just go take it. It's all slow driving anyway. It's really slow driving anyway. And if you think you're in a gear that's too low going down, you're not.
Yeah, okay.
You know, you're going down something, just leave it in first. You don't want to touch that clutch.
Yep.
Yeah. And autos, flick it over to that manual mode so you can control the descent.
Yep.
And hill descent's not going to help you out here. I don't care how good it is.
Yep.
Hill descent sucks.
Good intel. Too big a hill out there in the high country. All right, well, I think that's a bit of a wrap on the high country then. Good little insight. Obviously, we're never going to be able to do it justice just talking about it sitting here. So you're going to have to get out there and have a look yourself.
Yep.
Be prepared. Be prepared for the weather. And make sure you're not looking at your maps as the crow flies because there's a bit more driving to do than that.
There is. What might seem like a two-day drive is going to be a three-day drive.
Yep. And get over to Victoria. You guys will love it.
Yes.
Or if you're already there, lucky bastards. All right. Let's get to Around the Fire Pit, Jaden. I'm going to hand it over to you, mate. For those that are joining us for the first time, Around the Fire Pit, I reiterate, is questions from the viewers, listeners. Send them in to us. The 4-Wheel Drive podcast on Instagram is where Jaden will see them. You can also send them to Backchat's YouTube. Our videos are over there. But Jaden, what have you got, mate, for us? I'm going to shut the laptop and hand over to you, mate.
We are setting up a phone line as well. I know we've been saying that for the past, like,
month or two or three, I'm not sure.
Since last year.
Yep.
But,
it's all right. I mean, yeah.
It's coming. It is coming.
Well.
It is coming. There's a lot going on with this new studio and stuff. So it's coming.
Can we have a phone on the table, like a red phone?
A red phone on the table?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Speaking of red phone, have you guys watched Boy Swallows Universe?
No.
No.
I read the book.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah. Great show. I haven't read the book, but the show is really good.
Is it good?
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah.
I recommend it.
Yeah.
It's just it's got the red phone.
Who's the bloke from Vikings in it?
Yeah.
He's in it. He's yep. got a he's got a Simmel. Mullet that I want.
Yeah, he yeah plays a part really well. Actually met Travis Fimmel once. Ragnar. I'm a big Vikings fan, so
yeah.
It was pretty cool to meet him. Good fella. Yeah. From
where did you meet him?
I met him through mutual friends kind of thing. So yeah, I met him actually on a I went out on a little boat cruise. There was a big sort of crew and he was cool. on board.
Yeah.
He's from over Victoria Way.
Yeah. He's did you have to stop him from raiding any other ships or
yeah, well that was yeah. I was actually didn't really think of that at the time. It's good by you. Yeah, actually that's a bit there.
Oh,
that's a bit
Ronnie
your,
and the dad
that's a bit
jokes.
Of your ancestry, isn't it?
I love it.
You connected yeah. to Ragnar Lothbrok?
I don't know. Maybe.
You got the look. I was like, look. You might actually yeah. be his brother.
The look and the license plates.
Yeah, true.
You got any Viking tattoos?
No, and that's my regret with the current ones I have. I've been wanting to cover them up for ages or something. Yeah. I'm like one of the biggest skeptics you'll probably meet. And I had a few beers one night and decided to get a Taurus tattooed on my arm. And
a Taurus.
Yeah, and then when I was...
not a tortoise, a Taurus.
When I was sort of like talking down about horoscopes and stuff, I was like, mate, they just make it so it all fits, you know. And then like old mate pops around a corner, he goes, yeah, says the one with the Taurus tattoo
yeah.
arm. And I'm like, yeah, you got me there. I'll just sit here and shut up.
Yeah, can't say much, can you?
Yeah,
no.
Well. I don't know any tattooists. Anyway.
No. Yeah, you do. So
this question from...
How about when we're there, then I'll inquire. Because I have inquired, but I haven't found anyone who wants to take on the covering.
Show your tattoo?
Oh.
Am I allowed to flex my arm same time?
Bang,
mate.
Get a wider lens?
Yeah. It's pretty old.
Yeah.
18.
Oh, 18.
19.
You were 18 and 19 when you got it?
Yeah.
Or oh, okay.
Yeah. Cool.
From 1918.
Yeah.
He is Ragnar's brother.
All right, this question from Jaden Gadishki.
How do we get to where we talked about?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, honestly, off track. Why haven't Toyotas widened the rear wheels on the Net 70s?
Great question. Jadon.
Okay, so to understand that, you got to understand why they didn't do it at the start, or why they widened the front at the start. So the rear has never changed. The front changed because the V8 came out and it wouldn't fit inside the vehicle. And they could no longer release the 70 series with the current motor they had at the time, which was the 4.2 diesel, because that didn't meet emissions. And they had an engine at the moment in the 200 series that would work, so they didn't have to design anything. So they took a turbo off that one, whacked it into 70, and released it to the mines, because the mines were screaming for a car like that for the continuation of it. So that's how that happened, and they didn't... widened the back because they did it for the mines, from my understanding. That's what I was told by Toyota engineer.
That was I was sort of marveling at your work there. That was just, I was smiling at you, just go for that. And then you took a breath and then you kept going a bit more.
Yeah.
And that was just like your bread and butter right there.
You just that went was awesome. For it.
I was like, if you'd cut that up some way, there's just like, da 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 da.
Yeah. Bit of poetry.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Wow.
Well done.
Beautiful.
Told you. He knows his shit.
Thank you.
Roses are red.
Jaden. Violets. Jaden, thanks you.
Yeah.
Joe Pets. Hey, legends. Got a question for Around the Fire Pit. Do you guys know much about the Ford Ranger Wildtrak X model being required to have an AdBlue feature for emissions?
Yeah.
No. Permission to open laptop?
Sure, yeah, go for it. I've got this.
Oh, do you? Oh,
if you don't know it.
Shutting laptop. I don't know it. No.
Do you know? Is this the new model?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
So basically, the 2-litre diesel engine's been upgraded and it has to meet stricter Euro 6 emission standards, which means it has to require, like, it requires the use of AdBlue, which is the switch that cuts the output from whatever it is to 150 kilowatts and 500 newton meters, which is 4 kilowatts down on the normal bi-turbo engine that the Ranger has.
Okay.
So to meet the Euro 6 emission standards, it's had to install this AdBlue switch, which basically reduces its power and torque.
Interesting. I didn't actually know how AdBlue worked until you explained that. That's really interesting. So it sucks the power out. Does it have a DPF as well?
Can't see anything about DPF. I would assume so.
Yeah, so would I. So
like,
because I thought you ever had one or the other, but I think nowadays they got some cars got both, eh?
Yeah, well, I'm. Yeah, I can't see anything about a DPF, but you'd have to assume that it has it.
So
and if it's a switch that turns it on and off, yeah, it's an interesting question.
It is, and I wonder what happens if you don't put AdBlue in it. What does it do? Does it go, hey, what are you doing?
So do you have to add AdBlue every time?
I think you
do. You fill it directly to the tank, or I don't even know what it.
No, it's got a separate tank. I'm pretty sure. Does. Yeah, and then I don't think you fill it up with every tank. I'm not actually
it
sure.
It just sits there and
yeah,
sort of, yeah, okay.
Because I'd assume that a lot of places wouldn't have AdBlue.
No, I've go never there, really, right? I've heard of it, but I didn't actually know what its operation was.
Yeah. Mm. So it's fitted to the. It's used in the catalytic converter fitted to the exhaust system of your diesel car. And it's injected into the gases that come out of the exhaust.
Yeah, so it converts nitrogen oxide emissions in the exhaust gas of diesel engines into nitrogen and water.
Yep. Hmm. That's exactly it. Wow. So it wouldn't go in your fuel tank because that wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So it only burns it through the exhaust.
Exhaust, there you go.
So the high temperatures of the exhaust combined with the AdBlue help to break that down.
Oh.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
We learn.
We learn. And we love to learn here at the 4WD Drive Podcast.
Learn something new every day.
Oh, here's one. Bailey Opperman, are you going to tour the lesser known spots of Vic? Probably for both of you.
Yeah.
Any plans on touring the lesser known spots of Victoria?
Point us in the direction.
I don't know them because they're so unknown. I don't know them.
I'd love to. I don't know what...
Is Otway lesser known?
Otway's pretty well known. Yeah, Great Ocean Road, Otway's very well known. Still would recommend. Like I haven't done a lot of... Especially, I haven't done much camping at all down there. But awesome part of the world. Yeah. Like some of the most beautiful beaches that you can get and scenery and... everything down there.
So can I ask him a question?
Yeah, okay, go.
It's a reverse question. So we were looking to try and get from Victoria to New South Wales via the coast.
Yep.
So I did some extensive looking on Google Earth and stuff, and I found that you can get down this bottom. So you follow the border down in a diagonal line, and if you follow then that beach down, because it's quite rocky, you follow that down, and then it curves around. So you can drive up, drive across, and then... which is east, and then drive north up the coast. Is that possible? Because we were going to do it, but because it had a lot of rain, it prevented us from doing that.
Right.
So we're actually going to do that over the Vic because we kind of knew that half Vic was closed because of the time we went. So we were going to do that instead because I was like, cool, that'd be awesome to just do that.
Yeah.
But then because of the amount of rain, there was a river mouth there and you have to cross that river mouth, and I figured that that's going to be flowing like mad, so we're not going to get across there, so end up going to the car country.
Yeah, okay. So you want to... Are you talking like off-roading getting through? Yeah, I wouldn't know. My trip this year was via the road, but we got to the Malekuta, which is kind of like the last town right on the eastern point of Victoria, just before the border into New South Wales.
Yeah, okay.
And it's kind of like a dead-end town. Like, it's a beautiful spot. It's not a dead-end town at all, and what a dead-end sort of town means. But you can't sort of go any further past Malekuta anywhere. I don't know much about travelling off-road through those areas. I'm sure there is, because you drive that road, like, from Melbourne all the way across to Malekuta, like, just cut straight through, basically. You sort of dip down a little bit, come back up to Malekuta. That whole like coastline south of there, and I'm talking like lakes entrance sort of area, is like some of the more beautiful places that Victoria have to offer. And that's, again, not being there. Jeez, it's sad, isn't it? I just haven't been to so many places in Victoria that are awesome. But they say that...
Your career's taken you over here.
Yeah. So my 4WD drive journey did start over here. But that part of Victoria is meant to be just sublime. Like top of the table stuff. But the way I think about Victoria is it's not like you're not going on the Holland track for 300 Ks and sitting on the dirt the whole time and not coming across another town. It's sort of you're on the highway and you choose to shoot off into the high country or shoot down the track to Lake St. Andrews. And because Victoria is so small, it's a lot of it is bitumised, but like you've got all those high country tracks and heaps of, even where I'm from, there's shitloads of four-wheel driving options and camping options around the Wombat State Forest and all, you know, there's everywhere. It's so accessible in Victoria because it's, you actually can get everywhere and then just take the track in.
Yeah.
So it's like it's road, then just take the track in to anywhere you want to go. So what I saw...
Camping's never far then?
Nah, camping's never far away. Never far away. So I reckon to answer your question in a really wide lens answer, but it's you're on the highway and you hit the dirt, you take off, you go down to a beautiful campsite down near the beach or into the, you know, high country, whatever it is. You come back out to the road, you hit the highway again, you go north into New South Wales. You do the same thing through the lower parts of New South Wales, which is mind-blowing as well through there. Yeah, yeah. So I don't know how... You probably can.
I'll show you the map after.
You'd have to be able to, but I just don't know that side of it.
Cool. Anyone knows, let us know.
Yeah, please do. But some of the other lesser-known parts, I mean, the Grampians are really well-known. That's a pretty cool area to go camping. Check out that.
That's sort of west of Vic High Country, is that correct?
It's west of... So it's pretty much where the High Country is in the east. Grampians are in the west. So it must be about 3 hours from Melbourne, I'd say. So that's a pretty cool area. But, you know, haven't done a lot of the north... west of Victoria, but there's some what's it called, it's a little desert up there that looks
little
like
sandy
a pretty,
desert?
Little sandy desert maybe, yeah, it looks pretty cool. So that's probably one lesser known area that people wouldn't know to get to. And then you've got the Murray River.
Yeah,
you go and pick any spot on the Murray and there's plenty of stuff to do out there. So it's a really sad episode for me because I'm spewing that I can't answer that many questions on Victoria.
Sorry.
That's all right. That just gives me a task to get out there and have a look.
Motivation.
Makes you want to go there, mate.
It does. It does.
Yeah. Which is great because it's motivating you.
Yeah, that's it. If it's motivating me, hopefully it's motivating someone else.
That's the whole point.
And if you are living in Victoria,
yeah,
get out and have a look around it because, I didn't and now I want to go back and do it.
I definitely want to go back because I might have seen 0.1% of it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Well, you've seen a pretty good part, though.
Mate, what I saw was mind blowing. It's cool. Yeah.
The Otway is, like you say, that is very well known, but that is like, I know everyone says the beaches over here are so good. I always challenge that with the beaches down on the Great Ocean Road.
Yeah?
Are just as
good. Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I love them. Yeah. So, there you go.
I have just been doing a bit of research on this AdBlue system.
Loving it.
It's interesting. So, you can delete it. There's an AdBlue delete kind of like...
Is it delete
control alt?
It's a mod. Like it's a modification to your whatever it is that will delete the warnings, the notifications, all that kind of stuff. And the so when the AdBlue tank, when it detects that like there's not a lot of AdBlue in the tank, it will severely limit your engine power, causes trouble for whoever's driving it, right?
Is that just in the new Ranger or is that
no, so this is just AdBlue itself. Car that has AdBlue in it, this will do
like
it.
A
so
punishment.
Wow.
Engine speed, engine load, all this kind of stuff. It'll take it off. So in your question earlier, the AdBlue tank is literally right next to the, you know, where you take the cap off your fuel tank. It's right next to that.
Yeah. Right. Are they on buses and stuff?
Potentially.
Trucks.
Yeah.
So if the AdBlue tank is empty, you can't turn your car on until you fill that tank, fill it up with AdBlue.
Are you serious?
No. Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm serious. Sorry, I almost said no there.
What if you're in the bloody, you're in the middle of nowhere?
Yeah, I mean, like there's a, it looks like on the car there's a percentage, like your fuel tank reader, when it goes to empty, your AdBlue has a similar thing where it's like percentage left.
Another thing to worry about.
Which is another thing to worry about, yes. But so apparently it can clog your injectors. Degradation of it begins at about 60 degrees Celsius, which isn't ideal for Australia. High failure sensitivity, higher fuel consumption, and high dust load for the catalyst, obviously going through the exhaust. Mm.
Wouldn't it defeat the purpose to, I mean, obviously it must offset what the fuel, lesser fuel consumption is for it to be in, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the cost of it as well, adding AdBlue to a vehicle, like, increases the costs of everything you have to pay for, and
yep.
in terms of like mechanical stuff, failures and all that, like, it's just more, but the positives, environmental, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but I'm sure there's other ways you could do that without something complicated like that. Let's just find a complicated way of doing this, you know?
Mm. It's interesting. It's interesting, like...
I actually didn't know a lot about the Wildtrak X. It's interesting that... I forget his name. But has...
Picked yeah, up Bailey.
Bailey.
Oh, no, sorry, not Bailey. Joe.
Joe. Is it just a Wildtrak X thing that he's... that he wanted to know about?
Yeah, he's just after the, like, if we know much about the Wildtrak X model and why it's required to have AdBlue.
Yeah, I don't know.
And now I've just gone sidetracked onto AdBlue, to be honest.
I'm just looking at the different, like, I actually don't know what the Wildtrak X came with over a Wildtrak or, you know, XLT, but it seems to just be all sort of...
Just all like flashings, right?
Yeah, the aesthetics and, you know, different top, like, you know, come standard with the all-terrain general grabbers. And
here's another thing.
There's a position sensitive dampers.
There's a worldwide shortage of AdBlue.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. Wonder how...
Which shows how important AdBlue is, because all the cars that have AdBlue, but it's also like...
The trucks as well.
Yeah. What the fuck? What?
Yeah.
Little rabbit hole on AdBlue.
Yeah, it is a bit. I mean, like, you can get removal kits. You can delete it from the ICO program. And there's like companies that sell... like an AdBlue delete system. So you can delete it, but I don't know whether that brings... Yeah. Don't get a car with AdBlue.
It's kind of like... It doesn't suit the Australian conditions to do AdBlue. There are other ways of doing what they're trying to do. It makes sense in like maybe a European country, because everything, you know, they're trying to make...
Yeah, the emission standards.
Shit complex and stuff. And that's probably how it come up to meet their standards, because we're well ahead of standards than we are here.
Yeah.
But given the vast distances and stuff, like electrical vehicles are not going to work in Australia for a very long time when you are crossing vast distances.
Yeah. Which is why, like, we're quite keen to talk a lot about hybrid cars and the 48 volt and the Toyota Hilux and all that kind of stuff. Like, we've covered a lot of this in the past. And
AdBlue is 1/3 urea. So there's been an export restriction led to a global shortage of technical grade urea. So the Australian diesel exhaust fluid manufacturers were facing difficulties securing supply. So there you go.
The more you know, hey?
Yeah.
That interesting. Was a little... If anyone knows more about that,
I'd love to hear about that. That was a deep dive into AdBlue.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things. The more we look into it, the more ridiculous it is.
Yeah.
Mm.
You know, just like those three-way fridges. Just save that for another time.
Yeah, please. Yeah.
That does my head in.
Maybe we'll talk about that in Patreon.
Yeah.
All right. Let's wrap this up. The music will be by the Southern River Band. Let It Ride to see us out. Socials, the 4WD podcast on Instagram. Get in touch with us. Tell us all about Victoria. I'd love to hear about it. All our episodes over on Backchat's YouTube. We'll see you next time.
Hola. 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 Oh, shit.